Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Jackson will hand it off. Derrick Henry up the middle. He's in the 30, 20, leg race, gone! Touchdown, Derrick Henry! And they're going wild at M&T!
Ravens Radio Network, team that looked the best. It's got to be Baltimore. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. And after wild card weekend, pretty much a dud. Last night, you got a fun game between the Commanders and the Bucks. At least it was a close game. Teams going for it on fourth down, some nice defensive plays, a couple mistakes that kind of added to some intrigue, and then ultimately the Commanders doink a field goal in to win it at the buzzer. But I think the team, to me, that looked the best, considering the opponent they were playing and everything, I think the Ravens have to get the nod, right?
Well, why do you say that? The Bills?
Bills look great.
What was more impressive? The Bills had the biggest win.
Okay, but the Bills were up 10-7 at half, and their kicker for Denver doinked a field goal right before halftime. That would have been a tie game. Now, credit to Buffalo. They took it and ran with it in the second half. But I didn't think that Denver was a great opponent either. You know, the reason why I'm saying I think Baltimore looked good, and maybe this is why the Steelers are so embarrassed this morning, is that's a division rival. It's someone who the head coach has had success against an elite quarterback in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And this Steelers team, at least in their mind, was built to try to beat a team like the Ravens, where they would be able to stop the run and run the ball and control the clock and time of possession and all of that stuff. And the Steelers did none of it, and the Ravens did all of it. So, listen, the Bills played the Denver Broncos playing a rookie quarterback. The Ravens are playing, I know it's not the same Russell Wilson, but this is a Super Bowl winning quarterback who at times this season we saw have some success in the offense, and they were just completely bottled up. I thought it was impressive.
I mean, the Steelers have lost five in a row. It was the biggest spread of the weekend. I'm not sure what you were seeing in the Steelers. I think everybody would have picked the Ravens, but it was such a big point spread, and which, by the way, came very, very close to not covering, too, because the Steelers... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the Bills were probably, you're right, it was almost 10, but even it was 10-7.5, but they had a 21-9 advantage. Like, you could see the Broncos defense getting tired. Like, there's no way that, I think I was looking at the live bet of that. It was like 15-1 that the Bills were going to win that game.
No, so the Bills, if you just looked at the box score, they should have been ahead by 40.
Well, they were just playing so conservatively because they were so not scared of the Broncos offense. I think that they knew the Broncos were not scoring more than, say, 14 points. But I don't know. The Steelers were definitely reeling. The Broncos came in kind of hot. There was a stat, Bo Nix throwing like 8 touchdowns and no picks in his last four games.
But the Chiefs no-showed that last game of the season. That wasn't real.
But the Broncos have definitely been playing better than Steelers. At least the Broncos challenged the Chiefs. Steelers really weren't even in that game on Christmas. So, I don't know. I felt like it. And also, it doesn't matter because everybody saw that showdown coming of the Ravens-Bills. Like, it's a new slate. It really doesn't. Nothing that happened against Pittsburgh. Like, Baltimore is not going to see a similar team. Like, the Bills are going to give 100% effort. It's not going to be anything like Pittsburgh. And also, Buffalo is so much, has such better play calling than the Steelers. The Steelers have probably the worst play caller in the league.
Probably. So, who do you think looked the best? Were you the most impressed by Buffalo?
I was equally impressed by Buffalo and Ravens. I know that's a cop-out, but I thought they both... But actually, and I wasn't even that impressed. They both knew the opposing offenses were so weak that they just controlled the ball on the ground. So honestly, I guess they both looked good, but it really didn't. It actually didn't mean much to me. Like, even the Ravens game, I'm like, that's not a formula to beat the Bills. They're not going to be able to play like this. They're going to have to vary their offense a little bit. Right, I mean, they're gonna.
They didn't have to do that the first time. The first time these two teams met, which is Week 4, so it was a long time ago. But
yeah,
Henry ran for 200 yards. What was the variation there?
I don't see that game happening at all. I think I just see the Bills, like, Josh Allen's going to run a lot. I just think that maybe I'm totally naive. I just think they're going to play a much different game. They're going to try and ball control it against the Ravens. It's going to be. I see a really close game. You don't see it that way? You see it like it's going to be like the first game?
No, I hope it's not like the first game, because the Bills got the brakes beat off of them in the first game. They were not competitive in that game. So, no, they have to come up with something different. I think maybe getting the game at home probably helps you. You know, you're going to have to sell out to stop the run. That's it. And then you have to hope that Lamar cannot beat you with his arm. And
you talk about it like the Bills aren't favored, too, which is funny.
Well, but barely.
It was, yeah, but they're still favored.
A 1.5-point spread it opened up at, and I think it's a point. It's basically a pick-up.
Yeah, it's basically a pick-up, but they still, it's not like you say, like, I don't know. They're definitely not like the little sisters of the poor coming into this game.
No, but think about it. They're 1.5-point favorite at home.
Yeah.
So that's like barely, that actually doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot.
So they're kind of 2-point favor. You know, they're 2-point dogs.
Yes.
But that does mean something. You can't talk about them like to pull this off. I'm getting some, maybe they can pull
that.
This off
no,
energy.
No, it's not maybe they can pull this off. They should be in this game. They should absolutely be in this game. I just have watched Derrick Henry run all over the Bills before. So, yeah, I've got a little of the negative muscle memory from that. Even Derrick Henry as a Titan used to destroy the Bills.
EJ Manny, am I hearing, is this a Lou Holtz act by here? Did you guys, the way Maggie was talking about that, this matchup, it seems like she thinks the Bills will have to pull off an upset. And I think, like, that's the energy. And you could be right. You know this team very well. But I do not see it that way at all. I feel like this is going to be like last year's Chiefs-Bills game, where it's going to come down to who has the ball last.
It might. I hope it does. I hope that the Bills are in it. But, you know, you watched what happened. The MVP odds flipped. It looks like Lamar is going to win it now, because he got the first team All-Pro and Josh Allen got second team All-Pro. And it looks like things are lining up here, like, you know, that the Ravens are on this all-time great season. And you just have to hope that Lamar maybe gets a little dancey, happy feet, anxiety, all the stuff he was talking about before. And the Bills are going to have to try to beat him in the pass game, I think.
So? The Ravens on this all-time great season, they were 12-5.
But Lamar is probably going to win his third MVP.
Yeah, but I mean,
they had nine players picked for the Pro Bowl.
They're definitely the third team in this conference. I mean,
definitely.
I mean, well, they're second. I mean,
the Bills 35
definitely
to 10
this
year.
It's a Chiefs conference. Like, you're talking about the Ravens, like, they're some juggernaut. It is the Chiefs conference. Like, both the Bills and the Ravens have a massive Mahomes problem coming their way.
Okay, but now you're changing the conversation. Of course they have a Mahomes problem. We're talking about the Bills versus the Ravens right now, though.
Last year was the magical year for the Ravens. They were totally dominant last year. This year it's been a totally different Ravens team. Yes, like, they've figured out their passing offense to a degree. But
and their defense changed. I thought that was the biggest thing. Their defense has definitely changed.
I mean, they were definitely not like last. Like last year, they were just destroying everybody. I felt last year's team. Remember, they blew out the Lions. They blew out the Niners. Like, they were a house on fire last year. They had every reason to come in and expect to beat Kansas City in Baltimore last year. This year, it's a different story. They're coming against a much better Bills team, and then they have to go to Kansas City. I feel like this is a much more challenging year, even with Henry, because I don't think coming into. Remember, we did our playoff mulligans. Or did we do that? I think a lot of people, I don't think like everyone was like, oh, this is a Ravens AFC to win or lose. I think this is a gauntlet they have to go through. I think it's going to be really hard to get through Buffalo the way Josh Allen's playing and through Kansas City. I don't see them as a team of destiny. Now, last year, I was sure they ruined the Super Bowl. Weren't you? Oh, my God. Last year, everything was working out great.
They had that really stifling defense last year. Felt like they were getting all these double-digit sack numbers from Kyle Van Noy and just from all different places.
And Lamar was got healthy toward the end of the playoffs. Like, it felt like, And honestly, I look back at that Chiefs game, that I wonder if they have like a revenge factor. Are they being fueled by that? I mean, it's hard to tell. It's interesting. I would not count out your Bills.
I'm not counting them out. I never counted them out. They have to sell out to stop Derrick Henry. That's it. And Lamar is going to be no picnic. But to me, Henry is the key. If you can find a way to make sure that he doesn't lean on you, and the Bills are just going to have to score on every possession, which is not going to be easy.
But aren't most
if you get down against them, then Henry takes over.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. Is it most of Derrick Henry production when they're leading in the second half? Isn't that when Henry kills you?
Well, what it looks like to me is they start the game off with Henry, and then they try to finish the game off with Henry. And then in the second quarter and third quarter, they try to give him some breaks. That's what it looks like in close games.
But I think I'd like to see the splits first quarter versus fourth quarter. I think his yards per carry, like, it's a Saquon Barkley formula, too. Eventually, they lean on you, and it breaks in the fourth quarter. You can't do any of that if Buffalo's offense performs.
Yep.
Like, if they get a lead,
they have to score basically on every possession. It's the same thing that they had to do to beat Detroit.
Yeah. Great. That's a great analogy.
Derrick Henry's first half numbers this year, 740 yards on 5.1 yards per carry. In the second half this year, he ran for 1,100 yards on 6.4 yards a carry.
Yeah, it's a big...
The closer.
Big difference. Well, it's also just a function of the game. Like, I think the defense gets worn out. Like, you see Lamar and Derrick Henry. You saw it against the Steelers. Like, that's exhausting. I think the Bills are exhausting, too, because they have a... Let's not discount, and I know you know, Josh Allen and James Cook is a great combo right now.
Fantastic.
Another interesting stat, by the way, here... Yeah. 194 of Derrick Henry's carries came when they were ahead. Only 64 came from when they were behind. 67 came when they were tied. So the difference of when the game is tied to when the Ravens are ahead will definitely determine how much Derrick Henry touches the ball.
So it's simple, Meg. You just jump out to a 21-7 lead.
There you go. Someone get that to Sean McDermott.
I'm sure he has his numbers. They're on NFL.com. By the way,
it's not even next-gen stats. It's just regular gen.
Yeah, I have to pay. I have to use my NFL Plus for this one.
There was a point where actually I could hear Maggie slap her forehead at the end of the second quarter when the Bills got conservative and Sean McDermott was looking clueless on the sideline.
I'm sorry, going to have to get more specific. 855-212-4227. We see that face sometimes in the playoffs. Our pal, Big Dave, is in Kentucky keeping a close eye on the Mike Tomlin situation. For what reason? Hey, Big Dave.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're great.
I'll tell you why. Because if there's even the remote possibility that all this Tomlin talk is true, there's some substance to it, the phone lines from Irving, Texas to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania are lit up because I could so see Jerry Jones. He's watching all this in the background. This would be want to talk about great theater. I mean, this would be great theater. And there's just something about this. I just can't put this down.
Mm.
I just can't put it down. For some reason, it's almost like I could envision this happening. I really can. What do you guys think?
Dave, why in the world would Mike Tomlin want to work for Jerry Jones?
Because it's the aura. It's the aura. It's the brand. All that. Nobody would want to work for Jerry Jones. What kind of promises that Jerry Jones makes, you know, behind closed doors, and it's the star, it's the Cowboys. I mean, they would throw an immense amount of money at him. I mean, I could really see this happen. A couple other things real quick. McLovin, your Eagles, my Super Bowl pick, along with my Super Bowl pick of the Eagles and the Bills, your Eagles kind of worried me there a little bit yesterday. Is it just like is the fog got to wear off where your QB's been off for a while? I mean, what's going on there, man?
Yeah, there was a metric that quarterbacks coming off the concussion protocol are about 35% less effective in their first game out. They look bad. I'm not going to lie, Dave. But, Dave, by the way, I thought Jerry Jones wouldn't bring in a big-name coach because he doesn't want to share the spotlight. Isn't Tomlin qualify as that? That's why I wonder why you keep coming back to this. I trust your instinct, but it doesn't make sense.
I just think eventually at some point it's got to change. I just do. And it's not that he's going to see the light. Jerry's not a see-the-light kind of guy.
Yeah.
But I just think at some point, you know, I mean, you go down the same road for so long and you've got to take another road. And there's just something about this. I don't know what it is, but I could just see Mike Tomlin on the sidelines of the Dallas Cowboys. I could just see it.
But he never did Belichick. He wouldn't bring in Bill Belichick. He wouldn't bring in, I mean, never really. He probably had shots at Harbaugh and Peyton and never really took those. I just don't see him going for a Hall of Fame level coach.
Here's the one thing. Here's the one thing, Dave. I said, why would he want to work for Jerry Jones? You know, there's a couple of things about Jerry that are pretty appealing. First of all, he is extremely loyal, just like the Rooneys have been. Maybe not as loyal as the Rooneys, but pretty loyal. Yeah. And we talked to Jory Epstein last week, who covers the Cowboys in the league for Yahoo. She said, what about Jerry? He sees everyone on their best day is how he thinks they are permanently. And if you look at Mike Tomlin on his best day, that's pretty good. That is a Hall of Fame level coach on his best day.
So is Bill Belichick, and he didn't hire him, and he likes Bill Belichick reportedly.
My question would be, what would Mike Tomlin do for the Dallas Cowboys offense? Like, how do you, you know, we see what they do in Pittsburgh. You got Dak Prescott.
Hang on a minute. Listen. Yeah, but hang on. You know what? That prompts a point for me. And I was thinking about this yesterday while I was watching the game and listening to the commentators talk. There is this terrible narrative. You know, in a head coach, it's just like people assuming that because someone is a great coordinator, either offense or defense, that they're going to be a great head coach. That's not what great head coaches do. Mike Tomlin is a leader of men. Mm-hmm. A great head coach is the CEO of the franchise on the field. He has to be able to organize, operate, make sure everything functions, hold people accountable. That's what Mike Tomlin does. He's great at that. My last point, I'm jumping around, but I'm going to go to one time to show up. For all you Arkansas Razorback Pigville fans that invaded our Kentucky Wildcat blogs when Calipari left for your crappy organization in Pigland out there, suck it right now because you suck. Calipari sucks. You'll be lucky to win 6 games in conference. We've got our dude in Mark Pope. Go Big Effing Blue.
Wow. Dave, wow, the mic drop there, the warden.
Borderline. The warden barely stayed above getting dropped for profanity.
Manny, it was hovering over the dump button. That's not usually, we don't even
I get
to
it. If there's a topic that was going to drive the warden to profanity, it'd definitely be Calipari. I understand.
There is no love lost with Big Blue Country and John Calipari. What did you say, Manny? Someone just flipped their commitment?
Well, no. Boogie Fland, our favorite college basketball player, he flipped his commitment last year from Kentucky to Arkansas when Coach Cal decided to call it quits in Lexington.
Mm.
Remember Boogie Fland, Perloff?
Yeah, very well.
Yeah, sure.
Question. Mike Tomlin of the Cowboys, that's not happening, right? I understand Dave's passion. It's a good point about coaches and organizer of men. It just doesn't feel like this is the perfect marriage because I think he's underestimated. I don't think Jerry will ever change. He says Jerry's going to change and hire a big name. I don't see that happening. I don't think Jerry's going to change.
Well, there's also a rumor about the Cowboys that they don't love to pay their head coaches, like at the top of the market. But I don't know if that's true. Again, we don't really know. And you'd have to give up quite a bit of draft capital if you're going to trade for him. Now, we had a call. What were we talking about earlier about the Raiders? We had a call earlier. It said the Raiders.
Raiders trading for Tomlin.
For Tomlin. Now, that's AFC to AFC, which is a little bit different. Mm. I mean, we're talking about Steelers-Cowboys. That's the rivalry. Goes back to the 70s.
Yeah, I know. That's it's in my head,
but at least it's AFC-NFC.
But I feel like that's a thing, though. I mean, I'm not sure. I don't even think the Raiders, like, is Tomlin the right guy for that team? I don't know. The Raiders are so far away.
Well, that might be better. You know, if you're talking about guy as
but Tomlin took over a fully developed team, though. You know, we've never seen him build a team. I mean, I don't want to speak for Twitter. Everyone's saying that Tomlin won with Bill Cowher's guys. Hasn't won since.
Yeah.
I don't think that's exactly the case, but I do think Tomlin inherited a team with a lot of veterans, and you just have not gotten that. They haven't replaced that Troy Polamalu level leadership. I would say the team shifted halfway through to become a Big Ben, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell project, and it wasn't not the same type of leadership, in my opinion.
I was going to go to break, but I can't because I got to go to Josh in Youngstown, Ohio. Josh, you're out of your mind for this one. What do you have for us?
Well, okay, first, I'm a long-time listener. I love you guys' show. I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
I'm a big time Browns fan. With the number two pick, if they're going to take Shador, I could see next season if they don't, if it doesn't go good, where they fire Stefanski and bring Deion Sanders in.
Josh,
what a better scenario.
You're a wild man for this one, but I get where you're coming from. I'm going to put it to you this way. I think the only way that the Browns have a chance at actually getting Shador to show up to the Browns facility and, like, be drafted by the Browns is somehow if Deion agrees to be the head coach. I think Deion will stand in front of that speeding train to stop Shador from going to the Browns, and I hope you don't take offense to that. You're watching that team close up. I don't think Deion wants his son going to the Browns.
No, I get it, but who else do they draft at number two?
I think they end up trading out of the pick.
I've been hearing that, too, on Cleveland radio about the scenarios about them trading back, too.
And I don't love it for you guys. And it's a bummer of a situation. And, Josh, thanks for the call, and I like the outside-the-box thinking. But, you know, unless somehow Tennessee loves Shador, which could happen, by the way. If Tennessee loves Shador, then this whole thing takes care of itself, Perloff, because I do think that Shador would go to Nashville. And then Cam Ward is great. I don't think he has it's not the clout. He's very good. But he doesn't have someone in his corner like Eli had Archie Manning or like Shador has Deion Sanders. It's very hard for somebody who doesn't have a famous, a Hall of Fame level player in their life who's willing to make this messy. And unless I'm missing something, I don't think that Cam Ward has that person in their life.
Oh, yeah. And not only that, I mean, Cleveland's much more set up for offensive success than the third pick is the Giants. Yeah. So I think, like, I guess the Giants have Malik Nabers and Brian Daboll, but Cleveland, someone's going to go in there and probably do well next year, right? Because Flacco and Jameis did well in there. The only one who's not done well is Deshaun. You got Stefanski. You got a lot.
Did Jameis do well? I mean they threw, were a terrible he had some team. Big They're last place.
He had some big 300-yard games. I mean, like, honestly, if I'm a quarterback, like, it's tailor-made. There's a big Aaron Rodgers to Cleveland rumor out there. Like, Stefanski will get that moving.
Oh, my gosh. This is how you think of the Chicago Bears.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, they're just not going to get it right with quarterback because they never get it right with quarterback. That's how I feel about the Cleveland Browns.
But Joe Flacco threw for like 320 yards a game there. Like, there's definitely some yards to be had.
Fine. There's yards to be had. And then they went to the playoffs and they got destroyed.
Yeah, but I mean, Joe Flacco won like four of his last five games of the regular season. Like, Stefanski can coach up an offense. I think that there are some pieces there. I mean, Deshaun was, and also you don't have, Deshaun's not going to be there at all anymore. So now you have a blank slate. I don't think it's the worst spot. I know we disagree with this. I kind of like the talent level. I like some of the receivers. I like their offensive line big time. I think Cam Ward could do some things there. And I think also Rodgers, if that's an odd spot, obviously, but he could throw 35 touchdowns with Kevin Stefanski.
Can someone please answer this question for me? What happened with Deshaun Watson that did he re-tear the Achilles?
But that seems to be what the reports are saying.
Okay, how? This is what I can't find out. How did this happen? Was it a training session? Was it just by happenstance?
Yeah, there's this video out there.
Is he the conspiracy? Oh, yeah.
No, what's the conspiracy? Tell me.
He's dancing in this IG post with his girlfriend, right? They're in front of the car. Is that what you mean, EJ?
Yeah, the idea that you're not supposed to be out of your boot, you know, X amount of weeks after surgery, and there's a video of him shuffling with his girlfriend on the side of a highway like they're doing some kind of TikTok dance. And
we know this is recent?
Yeah, it's after his injury. Because he's not moving well.
Mm.
So we know it's after his injury.
I blame Aaron Rodgers. He tried to fool everybody that you can come back from an Achilles tear in like 90 days. I'm just kidding.
I blame Tom Thibodeau.
Load management. He's grinding his guys to dust. Even guys who don't play the same sport that he coaches.
Yeah. Wait, EJ, you're a Cam Ward fan. Would you be just like so upset if we went to Cleveland?
Not at all.
Yeah,
Cam Ward, because I think Cam Ward, we talk about Shador being like a true kind of like culture shock to the locker room. Again, I saw Cam Ward come in and just take over Miami in a positive way. Like, the guy, he is a real leader. Now,
Cleveland Browns wouldn't know that if it smacked him in the face.
And I guess there was some Baker Mayfield where, like, Baker Mayfield was supposed to be that guy, and they kind of remind me of each other a little bit.
They said Baker Mayfield was too immature to lead their locker room, and then they signed Deshaun Watson. who may have re-torn his Achilles, you're telling me, because he was filming a TikTok video.
Well, here's the thing. You're not going to win a Super Bowl there, but you might have a Pro Bowl season there as a quarterback. That's something. You're not going to win a Super Bowl anytime soon, but you could put up huge numbers in Cleveland.
855-212-4227. What's the tougher puzzle to solve? Cleveland's quarterback situation or Pittsburgh's quarterback situation? At least Cleveland has a second overall pick.
Cleveland's in way better shape of quarterback.
I don't think Shador would go there. 855-212-4227. I don't think Dion would let him. Okay, lots more to do, including, oh gosh, I saw this headline. I'm praying that this coach doesn't make this mistake. Just because you get a call doesn't mean you have to take it. Tell you what we mean next. M&P.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. We had a great group text thread this weekend. It's amazing that Andrew Bogus' New York Giants didn't play, and it was like shot after shot against the whole entire franchise. I thoroughly enjoyed that. The Eagles won. Strahan goes after his former team. Aaron Andrews goes after them. That was beautiful, dude.
Yeah, don't forget that the Giants, there is a universe where the Giants were able to draft Jaden Daniels. Last year, they were definitely able to draft Bo Nix, and he opens up a playoff game with a beautiful touchdown pass, and I'm just thinking, thank you for reminding me all the things that could have been.
At least you have your coach and your GM back.
Right, all the guys that made these wrong decisions are back. Let's try it again.
Wait, can we hear the Michael Strahan, Manny? It's cut 19. So this is Strahan talking about Xavier McKinney, but then throws shade at the Giants.
Xavier McKinney, co-leader in takeaway than NFL. Thank you, John. Number two in interception than NFL. Thank you, New York Giants, because you let him go, we let Barkley go. Well done.
Yeah.
What did Aaron say?
So she relayed a story from one of
Jordan the... Mailata.
Yeah, Jordan Mailata, that said, I guess Saquon wasn't used to running through holes.
But I know Aaron was the messenger of the other, but she did seem to have a little bit of glee in her voice.
She sold it.
Yeah. She's like, Saquon is so happy. And the whole thing was a celebration of Saquon not being a Giant. Yeah. It wasn't even that he was an Eagle. It was like, thank God he got out away from that
team. Yeah, that's how I heard it too.
This whole season has been that way.
I think Hard Knocks set this all up. Like, it would have been bad without Hard Knocks, but after Hard Knocks, everyone's all in on Saquon leaving the Giants.
I hate this sport. Yeah, me too, man. Even with the punts, you can have your punts. There's nothing good about it.
There was actually one controversial text that we've kind of avoided. Andrew Bogus rightfully pointing out that wasn't a touchdown in the back of the end zone when the Bills caught that Hail Mary.
How was it not a touchdown? Was it not reviewed? Are all scoring plays not reviewed?
I think they just got too bored. They're like, this game sucks. Let's just end this.
It was a tight game until that. That kind of broke it open.
My objection would be this. If Ty Johnson drops that ball as he rolls to his right, they're going to tell you that he didn't complete the catch, which means he hadn't completed the catch when his left foot slaps the way out of bounds. He's out of bounds.
That's not the way I saw it. I think it was hovering over the white, and somehow he like turned his body to go parallel with the end line. It was a feat of beauty. And listen, are you going to tell me what? There's not enough camera angles. We can't slow this down to get every pixel and blade of grass.
Well, again, you're missed. We don't want to hear to review everything and like take things away.
I
know. So you get that one.
How about that pick that the Chargers guy had on CJ Stroud? Where somehow he was a defensive back.
It was Derwin James, wasn't it?
Was it James?
One in the end zone that they overturned?
No. It was on the sideline, I believe.
That was rough.
Thought of you for that one, too. Like, this is a play that Maggie would defend. That should have stayed an interception.
Review should only be for egregious things.
I mean, even 9 Eagles, like, when we come back, no matter what, it's Chargers ball. And it wasn't.
Right.
Oh,
was that, that was on, right? The first,
It wasn't that. It was another pick.
The Leonard pick, right?
What's that?
The Dean Leonard pick?
Yes. Yeah. He hovered he was a DB, and he put it like a ballerina, got up on his tippy toes and reached out and somehow hovered both the heels over the line. It was crazy athletic. Really, really good play. There were some amazing interceptions this weekend.
There were. Interceptions. Some bad quarterback play.
Is it awful? I mean, I thought the Eagles had a beautiful one. Derek Stingley had a beautiful one. Some good DBs right now.
My favorite thing from this weekend was my timeline being like, you know what? Maybe Dak Prescott isn't so bad. With all these terrible these quarterbacks that we all thought were good, right? Like Justin Herbert and Jordan Love and, you know, guys we think highly of. And we always killed Dak Prescott for these playoff performances. It's like, you know what? Maybe we should leave Leave Dak Prescott alone for at least 1 year.
My takeaway was that every team is just like, I'm going to run my quarterback like crazy because you're not allowed. If you hit him anywhere on the field, like, there's going to be a flag. So, I mean, Lamar ran 15 times, Allen ran 8 times, Hurts ran 14 times. Like, run the quarterback. That, now, can you not draft? You have to draft a running quarterback. Right, the way Jaden Daniels, like, that is like the league now because of the way that I talked to Boomer Esiason about this today. He's like, man, I would have run if the people are so scared to hit the quarterback.
And Boomer was really athletic too. He could have been a runner. My takeaway from this week was, please, please, we do not need another game on the schedule. We don't need another wild card team. We're good. We got. We'll see what happens tonight. We got Vikings Rams. Maybe this is a great game, but we got basically one and a half good games this weekend. At least that Eagles Packers game, I guess, was a little bit closer than we thought. But the Packers kept losing players.
That was pretty close. I mean, the NFC is a little deeper. The bottom of the AFC is not great,
as we're finding out.
But and the Chargers, more football. So the wild card round isn't great. It was a very disappointing weekend. I still don't mind more football. I don't like that the guys are, you know,
their brains are going to be
that's
soup.
Not ideal, but yeah, I'll take more football. I'll never say less football. It's always more football.
But maybe we can just pause. Like, who's asking for a 19th week?
Not me.
Owners.
Wow.
By the way, at what point can I start saying that Patrick Mahomes is beating farmers and plumbers in the AFC?
What are you, JJ Redick?
I mean, look at this. I mean, this is like, look at these teams. He only has two teams to compete against. He kills them all the time.
Thank you, EJ.
Wait, who are those two teams? The
Bills and Ravens. Yeah, I guess he lost to the Bengals one time.
He doesn't kill them.
Maggie, do you think Pat Mahomes kills the Bills?
I don't want to talk about it. Bogus.
Kill is a strong word.
Kills a little strong.
Yeah. Breaks hearts.
Yeah.
He's ruins. That for sure.
Yeah. How about Doinks? They're usually not good for the kicking team, but a welcome carom off the right goalpost for the Commanders last night in Tampa Bay.
Snap good, hold down, kick on its way! It is good! The Cardiac Commanders are the Clutch Commanders! They do it again! We'll see you in Detroit!
That's Bram Weinstein on Commanders Radio. The thumping I think you can hear, I certainly hear it, is London Fletcher fist pumping, thumping his feet in the booth next to Bram as Zane Gonzalez banks in this 37-yarder with time expiring for a wild 23-20 decision over the Buccaneers. Washington kept the ball for the final 4:41 after the Bucs could only muster the tying field goal instead of a go-ahead touchdown. As we've been saying all morning, Jaden Daniels joins Mark Sanchez, Joe Flacco, Russell Wilson as the only rookie QBs to win a road playoff game. Dan Quinn loves his cool and calm QB.
If he had his heart rate monitor on in mind, they would not be the same in the game. And his stays pretty consistently good. And sometimes I'm like the duck. If you just saw the feet going under the water, it's good. But he really is into that space exceptional.
He almost looks uninterested at times.
Jaden?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fantastic.
It's remarkable.
There's like an inevitability that he's going to score on these final drives. Like he goes 4 for 4 for what, 40-something yards on the final drive? That's crazy. Although, here's the thing. C.J. Stroud had a phenomenal rookie year, and it hasn't been as good. The follow-up, now they're coming off a win.
Yeah.
See what happens. They beat the Chiefs. Then we're going to be talking about C.J. Stroud is like one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league, but
that's a good point. But you know, it's funny. I feel like Jaden Daniels, if he throws to Terry McLaurin, will always be all right because that guy
McLaurin's
has
so
Velcro,
good.
So you know, it feels sustainable.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in.
Yeah,
what a great service you do to your quarterback when you give him a 50-50 ball, like a wide receiver who is a bad ball catcher and a 50-50 ball catcher for earlier in your career.
Yep,
it helped Josh Allen tremendously to have Stephon Diggs. Terry McLaurin is amazing for this 50-50 balls.
And De'Ami Brown was great last night, too. But I think Daniels is pretty great. I mean, the only worry is you saw when he got hit on the sideline, he went up in the air like I was throwing my daughter around a trampoline. It was crazy. So by the way, you add Austin Eckler into this mix.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been down on the Washington's chances to do anything against Detroit. They are, you know, he's a game changer too. This is an interesting team.
Dan Quinn, very memorable win against the Detroit Lions. Remember when Dan Campbell got all frustrated in Dallas when Dan Quinn was the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys and Quinn was getting frustrated and kept going for it? You guys remember this?
No.
It wasn't a playoff game. It was a regular season game.
You mean last
the Dan
year?
Skipper
yeah.
Game, right?
Dan Skipper game. Maybe Dan Quinn's got something up his sleeve for Dan Campbell.
Well, that game, that Detroit handed that game to them. That I didn't even. There was nothing Dan Quinn did. Like Detroit, he was so.
No, remember Mike McCarthy almost blew that game.
Dallas almost handed that game to Detroit.
Wasn't that where Detroit went for it? Like got backed up on a penalty and went for it on fourth and seven anyway. You know the thing about Washington's their defense. Like their defense is not great. The Eagles have not had any problem moving the ball against them. That's where Detroit is going to win the game. Bobby Wagner is awesome, but you guys saw he got trekked by Baker Mayfield yesterday. That defense can be had. So it doesn't even, you really shouldn't, the Lions should not get into a last second moment with Jaden Daniels. It's not where you want to be right now.
That game is Saturday night in Detroit. The Eagles dropped the Packers yesterday 22-10 to set up a Sunday afternoon visit from the Rams or Vikings. They play their wild card game tonight in Arizona, as we all know. And the Bills, 31-7 demolition of the Broncos, means we're getting Buffalo-Baltimore late Sunday. Josh Allen preparing right after the final whistle yesterday.
We're going to need to get our rest this week, and we had a really, really good Baltimore Ravens team coming here. They put the thumping on us earlier in the year, and we know that. We understand that. So, again, it's the most important game because it's the next one.
In case you forgot, the Bills lost in Baltimore 35-10 in late September.
The Ravens, by the way, favored now in that game.
Wow.
Flipped already.
By how much?
A point.
On the coaching front, reports out of Pittsburgh say the Steelers have no plans to move on from Mike Tomlin after another early playoff ouster. We were told yesterday the Bears would love to chat with Notre Dame's Marcus Freeman about their vacancy. Today they'll meet with interim coach Thomas Brown, and the Raiders would like a chat with Broncos D coordinator Vance Joseph. The Lakers and Clippers will play home games tonight, their first since the LA wildfires broke out. The Lakers had two games postponed. The Clippers won. Notre Dame left tackle Anthony Knapp will miss next Monday's national title game because he suffered a high ankle sprain in their semi last week. But right tackle Rocco Spindler will try to practice and then play through his own ankle problem. And Novak Djokovic, Carlos Alcaraz, and Coco Gauff among the winners on day two of the Australian Open. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Bogish. Coming up, yes, a team is calling about a coach. Doesn't mean the coach has to answer the call. You don't have to pick it up. We don't have to entertain this. It'd be a bad decision and a bad move. We'll talk about it next. It's Maggie and Perloff. Free advice for Notre Dame head coach Marcus Freeman, who's going to be coaching in the national title game against Ohio State. When the Bears call, just let that one go to voicemail. Screen that call.
You don't think that that's attractive in some ways?
No.
Because
the NFL's attractive. And I guess you have Caleb Williams, but I don't believe that if I'm with the Bears, I don't think I'm getting a fair shake. I don't know who's making the decisions.
But you got Caleb.
I don't know
Williams.
What their motivations are.
Yeah.
Right. And if I don't make the Super Bowl with them in year two, I'm probably gonna be on the hot seat already. I don't trust anything that's going on with the Bears. That's a really, really hard situation to walk into where you got Jaden Daniels now, same draft class, just went to the playoffs and won a playoff game on the road. Bo Nix at least had one good opening drive in the playoffs. It looks like the draft class looks really good. And if you don't make Caleb Williams the best out of the class, it's going to look like you failed. You're in a tough division. It's more about what you have at Notre Dame to me.
But okay, let's say Notre Dame, you know, they're pretty big underdogs in this game. Let's say they lose. It's an 8.5-point spread. Let's say they get blown out. Theoretically, I mean, they have a lot of injuries.
Yeah, then watch the offer go away.
Well, I'm just saying, like, this might be the best. I'm not sure it's a guarantee that Notre Dame will be back here. I think of all the jobs, like, he's a Midwestern guy, right? He's an Ohio guy. I think the Bears might be somewhat attractive to him. I agree with you, stay at Notre Dame, but I don't think, like, the Bears is some nuclear wasteland. It's not like taking over, like, the Browns, whose cap space is going to Deshaun Watson. I think this Bears job is probably intriguing to him. I mean, he's, like, sort of like, he's a Notre Dame, Ohio State, Chicago Bears, Midwestern, tough guy. He kind of feels like a Bears coach.
I don't know what a Bears coach feels like because they've ping pong through every single type of guy you could have. And I don't know if they're thinking Mike Ditka. I don't know who they think's walking through that door, but it's not happening. And here's the thing about Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame. this 12-team college football playoff is like chef's kiss perfect for you.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to play a conference title game, but that didn't prove to be any problems. You could be hosting a yeah. home game every single year if they keep this same format, and you're going to get in even if you have a loss because you're Notre Dame. So,
yeah, I know what you're saying, but won't that wear thin at a certain point? If like, but then again, they could win. They could easily win this game, so maybe it works. But I think the Bear. You know, I was looking. He was drafted by the Bears. It just feels like of all the teams that Marcus Freeman would want to coach, this would be up there.
They passed on Jim Harbaugh. Like they don't know what they're doing there.
Who, the Bears?
Yeah. I don't trust it. If I was Marcus Freeman, I'm 39 years old. I haven't been burnt out by the coaching, the unrelenting coaching calendar in college yet. I'm sticking around for Notre Dame.
Yeah, but the,
you know, not like Riley Leonard is your once-in-a-generation quarterback and you've got to figure out life after Riley. Like, you're just going to get the next guy. It's the transfer portal era.
Nothing's guaranteed. I mean, Brian Kelly, what he made in 2012, he made the title game. Like, he didn't even sniff it again in Notre Dame.
Totally different world now.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. He could probably get into the 12-team playoff lot. I don't even know if that's going to be as impressive down the road. I just don't think, I disagree with the fact that I do think there's some attractive elements of the Bears for Marcus Freeman. I'm going with a young, attractive guy.
Let's answer a poll question that we had for you, which is, what should be the bigger priority for the Steelers? New quarterback, new head coach. 84% of you say quarterback. Mike Tomlin still with plenty of support, at least on social media.
Well, no. See, I totally disagree with you. Yes, of course, you don't have a quarterback. So technically, your priority is getting a quarterback. But if you put up the poll question is, if you're a Steelers fan, do you want to keep Mike Tomlin? Do you think that's 85 to 15?
Well, why don't we put that poll up? Meanwhile, we mentioned that the biggest, most crazy moment of the weekend, mixed with lots of crazy moments, Justin Herbert throws four picks. Derrick Henry and the Ravens run for 300 yards. What else crazy happened? Jordan Love threw three picks. Lots of crazy stuff. The most shocking was Kirk Herbstreit, who has not had an opinion about the NFL since he started the gig on Amazon. Great college announcer. Phenomenal college announcer. Does not go hard on the NFL with any opinion, saying this about the Steelers' defense.
The thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motion.
Man, that's the day Kirk Herbstreit became an NFL analyst. Like, he'll say this about college. He doesn't say this stuff about the NFL. And the fact that he called that out from the booth means the Steelers situation is even worse than anyone thought.
Yeah, totally. I think also, to me, it was coaching. Like, you're down 21-0, and it's third quarter, and you call two run plays for 1 yard apiece. Like, what are you doing? Like, fire that offensive coordinator immediately. Fire Tomlin. It's done. It's done. You could tell that team was not playing for him on Saturday night. Bro, what are you doing here? Yeah, I honestly, like, it's all over. They really, really need to rebuild. I mean, it's overdue. It's nothing against Tomlin. Tomlin would be a great coach somewhere else. It's never happening again in Pittsburgh.
The fact that the defense did not look like they were playing hard or making business decisions or just were, you know, resigned to the fact that Derrick Henry was going to run all over them and Lamar.
Yeah. Well, after Henry stiff-armed Minka Fitzpatrick, you could see the life just go, Fitzpatrick's like, get me out of here. I don't want to be here.
Derrick Henry has that effect on people.
Yeah, I get it. It's a good excuse, but it was Lamar's running. I'm like, he's right in front of you. Take a shot. If you're going to get a flag, at a certain point, you just cannot let your division rival run at will.
Like, and then it's like,
yeah, they're four in a row, right? Like, what?
And I was like, and he was like, and I was like,
these were not
five
scrambles.
In a row, five losses.
No. I mean, Lamar Jackson runs. Oh. Like, these were not scrambles. These were quarterback runs, and you just did nothing about it. You didn't until second half. You started to lay some licks on him. But you're the Steelers. What happened?
More poll questions to update. Did Justin Herbert have the worst weekend in the wild card round? 85% say yes. Yes, he did.
Has it worse than them?
Nobody. Final poll question. Do you prefer your home team stadium to be within the downtown area or on the outskirts? Downtown stadium winning 60-40.
Except that's if you have to go. Philadelphia decided to stay on the outskirts.
Except you have to drive there and park a car. Then forget it.
Or you can take the Broad Street line.
Yeah, I mean, you do have to take a little subway action.
That's fine. Or I'd rather do that than have to pay $60 to park my car.
Yeah.
Or even more.
Yeah, yeah. It's not, and it also too, it's not easy getting out of a parking lot in a game. There's that.
That can be annoying. There's inevitably someone's car that gets set on fire because somebody pours the coals out of their barbecue and it's not totally out, and then someone's car gets set on fire. That happens once a home game.
Definitely for the Bills.
Well, they're setting them on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey. Anyway, we got a fun week to prepare for the divisional round and the college football national championship. Thank you, EJ. Thank you, Manny. Thank you, Bogish. Thank you, Kaplan. The Widows and the Coffee Drinkers.